Well, greetings to you today in Jesus' name. This is Steve Clark, and this is day 5 in our 7-day series. And this week for our inspiration, we're looking at some of the reasons why we as Christians should do the things we do. Why do you do the things you do? Why do you forsake all to follow Christ? Or why do you live a simple lifestyle? Or why do you witness to the lost people around you? And why do you forgive? And why do you keep yourself from the lust of the flesh and that wars against your soul? And why do you keep yourself from the love of the world? Well, day 1, we looked at how Jesus said that we'll be persecuted. His followers will be persecuted. They'll be hated. They'll be betrayed, even by family and others, for his sake. He said that if they've hated me, they're going to hate you also. And it's for Christ's sake. It's not, if it's because of the way we're living or because of living as a Christian and people are hating us, it's because they hated him before they hated us. And so it's for his sake. Day 2, we looked at losing our life for Christ. In Luke, it says, "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it." And so if we try to save our life, we try to save our reputation, we try to save those kind of things that, you know, that make it so that we're, so it's comfortable, everybody's going to love us and everything, and we compromise, we don't follow Christ, then that's trying to save our life. Well, at the end of that, you're just going to lose your life in eternity. But if you lose your life now and you deny yourself, you take up your cross, you forsake all to follow Christ, and that's losing your life. If you do that, we're going to find our life now in this life, but also in eternity. And in that lesson, we looked at being fools for Christ. Day 3, laying down our lives, which is similar, but this is, in Matthew, it says, "Everyone that hath forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or fathers or mothers or wives or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and shall inherit everlasting life." And so these are, the way I broke this out pretty much, are more tangible things, forsaking houses and brethren, not just losing our reputation and things like that, but forsaking, actually making a decision that I'm going to live differently than the rest of this world. I'm not going to hoard up. I'm not going to live for myself, but I'm going to live for the Lord, and I'm going to forsake these things, and then we'll receive 100-fold in this life and shall inherit everlasting life. And then day 4, yesterday I read a short article about 2 Moravian missionaries who sold themselves into slavery. Imagine that, becoming slaves, physically becoming slaves, selling themselves into slavery so that they could go and be missionaries among the slaves on a certain island where it was not permitted for missionaries to go. So instead of just forgetting about those people who needed Christ, these 2 Moravians, they decided to sell themselves into slavery. "I'm going to become a slave so that I can be a missionary on that island." And we talked about the reason of doing that it's for Christ's sake. What he said there was, or what they said, is they were sailing away in the ship, and people were kind of mocking them for "You'll never come back," and "What are you doing? That's a crazy thing you're doing," and stuff. And they said, "May the Lamb that was slain receive the reward of his suffering." So it was for Jesus' sake that they were doing that. It was so that the Lord Jesus would receive the reward of his suffering, that souls would be saved. And so that's the motivation that we're looking at here today. Not a motivation that, or even this week, not a motivation that is all about me or pleasing me, or, you know, the reason why I live this certain way is so that I can, you know, I can just have a better life, or the reason why I live this way or do what I do is so that someone even can be saved. But it's because Jesus Christ is worthy. He's worthy of our lives, and that's what we're looking at here this week. He said to, well, one other thing on that is humanism is the worship of self. And I think there's like a fine line there between humanism and true Christianity, in a sense, because we are to serve others. We are to love others. We are to live our lives for others. And in doing that, we live our lives for Christ. But if that's the reason why we're doing it, is just so that for the betterment of humanity or society, and we don't like to see people suffering in poverty, and so we go to the mission field to make a better social, give them a better social status, and that's humanism, or it can be humanism, and not really true Christianity, and not really true Christian missions as Jesus would want us to do, because it's lifting up people and not lifting up Christ, being motivated by people's needs, our own needs, instead of motivated by the love of Christ and the Lord receiving the reward of his suffering, like we just talked about. So in our day and age, too, there's a lot of focus on humanism in Facebook and other social medias, where it's promoting self, lifting up self. It's a very dangerous place that we're in our society, and how so many people are just grasping for that and not for Christ. So the Lord told Paul that I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And it's for, that we can endure a lot of suffering if it's for the Lord's sake. First Peter says, and who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? But and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are you, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. So Peter here lifts up suffering for righteousness' sake. And even as Jesus said that if we're persecuted for righteousness' sake, we should leap for joy and we should rejoice. We can wake up with a backache in the morning because we slept wrong or our bed isn't very good. And that's not suffering for Christ's sake if we wake up in the morning and we have a backache. But if we would wake up in the morning and our back is sore like it was for those disciples who were beaten and put into prison, put into stocks, and their back was ripped apart and sore because of that. Now that's because of Christ's sake. And so, it says here that in Peter that I just read, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that lieth in you. So, we should always be ready to give an answer. We should always be ready to lift up a testimony or give a testimony for what Christ is doing or is wanting to do or has done in our lives, and exalt him and lift him up before the world. And even though they speak evil of us as evildoers, you know, these people that are the goody-goodies or whatever they might say, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. Let's not suffer for our own wrongdoings. Let's suffer for Christ's sake, and we can rejoice in that. And then the last scripture I want us to look at here this morning is Romans 8:35. Says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. And I just want to turn in my Bible there to that passage and read the next couple verses. So here nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. And if we don't let it, I mean, we can let things separate us from the love of Christ, but we can even suffer distress and tribulation and persecution and famine. We can suffer all of those things, and that can't separate us from the love of Christ if we have our eyes on Christ. Just as Peter, when he was got out of the boat and started walking on the water, he was able to walk on the water as long as he kept his eyes on Christ. But as soon as he took his eyes off of Christ and thought about what was happening there, he started to sink, and he cried out, Lord, save me. And what did Jesus do? He reached out and saved him. He didn't let him down. He didn't let him drown. So, and it says there, and as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, and we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. And then it goes on and says, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Well, that verse there, or those verses there, are enough for us to be inspired to live our lives for Christ and to love him and see his love for us. So God bless you today. Thanks for calling in.